Well, good morning.
Let me say welcome to those of you who are watching online, to the guys over at the prison, soon to be the guys over at the jail, and to those of you who are here in the room. Today, I want to talk about football. We got any football fans in the room? Yeah, we got a few. It's a really weird time to talk about football because I know there's a lot of you who are just like, I'm done with the NFL right now. They're gone the wrong direction. And I totally sympathize with that. However, I don't know if maybe it's a moral problem with me or something, but at a time when my Chiefs are on top, I can't really say no more football right now. I'm having a lot of fun. And so we're going to talk about football today. And I love football. I always have. When I was younger, I said my favorite sport was basketball, but that was just because I was better at basketball than I was at football. But I love football for multiple reasons. And let me talk to you today about a couple of the reasons why I love football. Number one, football is a team sport for players. And this is true on multiple levels. No one in the world can win a football game alone, right? Against anyone. I think I could find 11 teenage girls and they would beat the greatest football player of all time in football, Patrick Mahomes. You need all positions covered. One person can't win a football game, illustrated by this.
All those throws, uh-oh.
Yeah. Now we've got, on a fourth down and three, you got Griff Whalen ready to take the snap. He'll snap it. Actually, Colt Anderson is behind him. And what in the world? Flag is down. You tell me.
I thought maybe they were going to try and get him to jump off sides.
Illegal formation. The whole right side of the line was not on the line of scrimmage. Offense. This penalty is declined. The result of the play is first down for New England.
What in the world? He says, the whole team abandoned him. Result of the play, a coach is probably getting fired. I'm sorry if we have any Colts fans in the room. You can't play football alone. And those of us who are fans of football know this is true as well. Football is a team sport also for the fans. Whether we realize it or not, we cheer for a team because of who we are cheering with more so than who we are cheering for. If you're a Chicago Bulls fan, I'm going to guess there is a good chance that you became a Chicago Bulls fan because you were seeing how much fun they were having in the 90s cheering for the Chicago Bulls. It's nice to cheer for a winning team. And so people start jumping on the bandwagon. You're like, that looks like a cool wagon. I'm going to jump on too. And everybody starts following this team and cheering for a team. I grew up in Kansas City, and so if you're wondering why I am a Chiefs fan, it's because everybody I knew was a Chiefs fan, right? I dated a girl in high school whose dad was one of the main sponsors of the Kansas City Chiefs. And so I would get to go to the Chiefs games and sit in the heated box and all-you-can-eat food. And we had seats down on the sideline, on the 50-yard line. I got to be in the halftime show one time, sit in a hot tub on the sideline. Like, of course I'm a Chiefs fan. How could you not be a Chiefs fan when you get to cheer in that way with that kind of people? Mitch and Grant always make fun of me and they always say, why do you say we when you talk about the Chiefs? Like, you're not on the team. Like, the day after the Chiefs win a game, I'm like, man, we played good. Did you see how well we did this? And how they're like, what do you mean we? You did nothing. But there's like this, I don't know if you've ever experienced it before, and unless you're a sports fan, I don't know if you have. It's just like you start, your emotions get attached to your team. And you start feeling like it's a we. And then it's not just a we, like you and your team, but it's like you and the people that you cheered with. Like you were emotionally connected to this. And so a win is an emotional win, and a loss is an emotional loss. And I've experienced emotional losses. I cheered for the Kansas City Royals for 25 years before they won it all a couple years ago. I cheered for the Chiefs for 30 years, and other people did it for 50 years. until they won it all. And so what I would say to you is pick your team wisely. Pick a team that's going to win some games, because all the teams have fans and all the teams play games, but not all the team's fans actually get to cheer. Some of the team's fans are just destined to eternal silence or booing or disappointment. Not all the teams get to cheer. So pick your team wisely. And so you're wondering, okay, Mike, this is church. You're talking about football, and we've talked about nothing but football the whole time. So here's when I turn the corner. If religions are teams, pick the winning team. Just like the NFL, just like any other sport, only one team can win. And there's some people in the room, and you're thinking, Mike, you're not saying that Christianity is the only right religion, right? You're not saying that Christians are the only ones who are right about God, right? Yeah, we are. We believe that. Like, wholeheartedly, we think that's true. I would not be up here if I didn't think it was true, because the guy that we fought, we're called Christians, Christ followers, that guy, Christ, Jesus Christ, said this. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. There is no other. No one can come to the Father except through me, he says. I'm the only way. Everybody else is going to lose. And so if we decide that this guy was not a lunatic, if we decide that Jesus Christ was not a liar, then we have to just come to the conclusion that if we follow him, we have to believe he's the only way. And not only do I believe that he's the only way, I believe that he is the winning way. Like, you join his team, it's the only way to win the game. It's the only way to get to the Father. It's the only way to get to heaven. It's like we're playing the game of life and we're holding the royal flush. We can't lose. Just play your hand right. You got the winning hand. Just play it right. You can't lose. This is what it's like to be a Christian. For Christians, it's like, we got Patrick Mahomes on our team. We can't lose. Okay, maybe that's not true. I'm going to try not to get too arrogant, because that's going to be rough when they do. The game of life is an infinite game of relationships. If you've read much of what Jesus says, you realize over time that all he ever does is talk about how we relate to each other. And how we relate to God. It's like everything was dependent upon relationships. And so as the Christian team, as followers of Jesus Christ, we've decided that our strategy is relationships. To strengthen our relationships. So we strengthen our relationship with God. And we strengthen our relationship with each other. And we get this like vertical and horizontal thing happening at the same time. I can't do that. Happening at the same time, and we've decided that if we can do these relationships well, if we can actually put into practice the advice that Jesus gave us about how to live our lives, then we can win the game. And so here's what we've done as Christians. We've decided if we are going to fully invest in this strategy that Jesus gave us of relationships, then we need to huddle up on a regular basis and figure out how to do our relationships best. So our huddles look like things like getting together on Sunday mornings, or we get together in room or in houses around Gillette, around the community. We get together around tables with our families, and we're intentional about the conversation that happens then. We huddle up on a regular basis because we believe it is worth investing in our relationships. Like, that should be a priority of ours. Because we believe that good plays begin in the huddle. We can't do our strategy without this meeting, without this gathering. Okay, I need some volunteers. I need 8 volunteers. So could 8 of you just like be super brave and just come up on the stage? I won't make you talk, I promise. But I just need 8 people. Just come up here on the stage. Come on, come on, come on. Bravery, there we got one. It just takes one and then other people will follow. Thanks, guys. 4. I need 4 more. I got 5. Good job, guys. Perfect, perfect. That's good. Awesome. All you guys come up. Perfect. She does not want to be up here. It's okay. I won't make you do anything bad. Good job. You can stand in a line back here. So as Christians, we huddle up on a regular basis around tables and mentorship and discipleship and life groups and all this stuff. And we come up with plans. So today we're going to illustrate that. Could you guys get back there in the back of the stage and stand in a circle? There we go. Come this way. You're out of the light. So come this way a little bit. Then we'll be able to see you on TV. Stand in a circle. There you go. All right. Is there anything that we can do to make our circle better? Get rid of the Patriots. Well, that's a different conversation. That's good. Is there anything we can do to make our circle stronger, better, our huddle? Well, we could do that. What would make our... Okay, go for it. What could make the circle stronger? There we go. You guys don't look like too much of a team yet. You're kind of just eight people standing on the stage. What can make our circle even stronger, even better? Okay, now we're getting in there. We're getting in there. What else, team? What else can we do? What do teams do to make it better? Oh, there we go. What do they do? What do they? You're in the huddle. Somebody lead. Somebody lead. Come up with a chant. Don't they just like grunt stuff? Yeah, all right. Talking. All right, good job. Give them a hand. And this is what I think people think of the church. Like, have you ever watched a football team and they get in their huddle or they come out of the locker room and they're all grunting and jumping and all this stuff and acting weird? And anybody from the outside who doesn't know much about the football world just think, what are these weird people doing? I think people think that about the church. They're like, what? You guys get together on Sundays and sing songs together? Like, is this preschool? You dunk people underwater and you eat bread and drink juice together. That's nice. Cute things that you do. And I think that's what people think about Christians. You just got these weird huddle traditions that you do. But the reality is, okay, so huddle back up. You don't got to sing or anything. So when I was in high school, when I played football in high school, okay, that was a lie. I did not play football. I was on the team. Bench and I were friends. When I was in high school, what would happen is the captain or the quarterback or somebody would clap their hands and then everybody would say, break. So they clap their hands and they say break. Okay, so practice that. And then you guys are going to break and you're going to come up here. The line of scrimmage is right here. You're going to stand up on the line of scrimmage, okay? All right. All right, Zach, you're the quarterback. Good job. Come to the line of scrimmage. Very good. Give him a hand. All right, you guys can grab a seat. Good job. And so I think we, as Christians, have this temptation to stay in the huddle. But what would happen if a football team just stayed in the huddle too long? What happens? They would go to a commercial probably, but they'd throw a flag, right? They'd call a penalty. What would they say? Delay of game. You guys don't watch enough football. They'd say, delay of game. What are you doing? Get out of the huddle and go run a play. Like, you just been back there talking too long. Are you disorganized? Do you not have a leader? Do you not have a plan? Like, did you not practice and get in preparation? Why are you still standing in the huddle? So Christians, we say all the time, circles are better than rows. We are fans of circles. We are fans of huddles. We think Sunday mornings are incredibly important. We think life groups are even more important. But we were not called as Christians to be huddlers. The huddle is where we start. Well, we actually start before that in some preparation and some practice and some plan making and all that. But then we get together in a huddle. We kind of have this like debrief and this quick plan. We talk about a play we're going to run. But if you never actually run the play, you're never going to win a game. You got to get out of the huddle and you got to run the play that you've decided in the huddle to run. We can get up here and we can talk about the Bible all day long, but if we just talk about the Bible and we never actually do the things that he tells us to do, what's the point? What's the point of the huddle? Unless we run the play. But we've turned churches into country clubs for Christians. We get together and we make friends and we pay our dues. We kind of do the things that we're supposed to do to have membership in the country club, and we get the political stuff in order and all that. When this is not at all what Jesus described when he described the church. Jesus described the church as a hospital for sinners. We got to run a play. We got to have a strategy. So if I can, I'd like to take a second to talk a little bit about our more specific strategies. Here at New Life, we've designed some, what we think are pretty good huddles, some pretty productive huddles. But also what we've said after that is, in our huddles, we're going to talk about a plan. We're going to get like practical, like how do we help people? Our life groups don't just get together in living rooms. They actually have a mission. They actually go out and they do things in the community. They actually support people. They help people in need. And so I'd like to play a video for you real quick that's going to talk about how practically this semester we are going to help our community. Our missions of our life groups are going to look a little bit like this.
Civil War. Anyone remember where the first shots were fired that started the Civil War? Anybody else? Anyone at all?
Mr. DeBoer, I can't understand a word you're saying.
We get it. Teaching is hard. And we want to do something about it. In the past, our life groups have done service projects in our community, but each life group chose their own project. And so we had a lot of impact in little places. This year, we want to have huge impact. So we're all going to work together for one big project. We're teaming up with other churches in our community to adopt all the schools in our school district. We here at New Life have adopted both Campbell County and Thunder Basin High Schools. And our plan is to use our life groups to do something huge to love on those teachers. We're not exactly sure what it looks like, but we are gonna love them, care for them, pamper them, and bless them this year.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's good.
I'm going to guess a lot of the teachers would not enjoy that. Maybe they would. But we're going to do what we can to love our teachers in a semester that's a little bit harder than most semesters. That's just one of the ways that we've decided this semester that we're going to serve our community and help our community. And if you're not in a life group, it's going to be really hard to help us run that play. If you're not on the team, it's going to be really hard to be a part of that mission, right? And so our request to you is join a life group. They start today. My life group is meeting tonight. And so if you're not in a life group, join that so you can join us in mission. We got to start in the circle. You got to start in the huddle. We actually think that's more valuable than this. And then go on mission. Then go run the play. Do you know why when we do baptisms here at New Life, what do we do after somebody gets baptized? We cheer, we clap, we yell, we celebrate. Why do we do that? It's because in a way, it's like we're succeeding in our mission. When somebody gets baptized, it's a powerful moment for those of us who are Christians, those of us who are really bought into this mission, because that's somebody saying, like, I'm all in. I'm giving myself to this mission. My life has been made new. I'm ready to tell the world that I'm a new person. I've been forgiven. I'm on Team Jesus, and we can't lose. I've joined the winning team. Baptisms are touchdowns in the game of life. I think the angels are in heaven doing the wave. Jesus writes his name across your chest. Paul's doing an end zone dance.
Yeah. Woo!
I said dance.
You should have asked Angela.
Oh, no. There you go. So when a disciple makes a disciple, we win the game. This is our strategy. We've developed a strategy to make this happen, to introduce more people to heaven. This is why life groups should have a learning and a mentoring and a fellowship aspect, but they should also have a missional aspect. The same is true about all of our ministries. A good life group isn't content with just huddling up and learning scripture. If we're really learning scripture, then that scripture that we're learning sends us out. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. So who do you get excited about doing this to or with? Who does it excite you to tell about the good news of Jesus Christ? My son Titus is a year and a half almost, and he's starting to try more and more foods, and he's an eater. And so when he tries a new food that he really likes, like Titus' eyes wide open. Like, guys, have you tried this before? This is amazing. These grapes, they're like bursting in my mouth. Like, he's loving every minute of it. The other day, we gave him macaroni and cheese for the first time, and mom puts just on his tray of his high chair or whatever, and he takes a bite, and then he's just like, oh, and he's just like stuffing in his mouth and choking and just looking at us like he's in heaven, like enjoying every minute of it. And I think that it's time for some of us to get that excited about the way we talk about Jesus. Like, hey, world, hey, Gillette, do you realize what we have here? Do you know what it's like to feel this hope? Do you know what it's like to feel this hope, this joy, this peace that just goes beyond anything we can understand? You got to try this out. This is awesome. If you just tried it, you would love it. Then Jesus tells us to bring those people in and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This past season, when Patrick Mahomes, or off season, when Patrick Mahomes signed a new contract, I'm sorry, I keep talking about Patrick Mahomes. It wasn't written that much into my notes, but it just keeps coming up. When Patrick Mahomes signs a new contract with the Chiefs, and everybody's going crazy. Like, celebration in Kansas City lasts weeks on end. Why? It's because when Patrick Mahomes joined our team, we drafted him. We picked him. We kind of made him be on our team, right? But when Patrick Mahomes signed a contract, that was him saying, all right, I'm in. I want to be a part of this team. And if you value him as a member of a team, then that's a moment for celebrate, right? He's joining our team. Now, he got paid $500,000 to do it, or $500 million to do it. I'm all in. And we think that the reward of being a part of Jesus' team is much greater than $500 million. We think the reward for joining Jesus' team is eternal life, perpetual glory and beauty and perfection. Even in this life, we think that it brings us hope that money can't bring us, and joy and a mission to be a part of, which we don't have a mission in our life. We're just kind of miserable. So bring them in. Get them baptized and teach them how to do the things that I've commanded you to do. Teach them to obey every command that he gave to us. To do what he said to do. Let him come into your life and make you who he created you to be. So if you're in the room today and you have not yet joined the winning team and you're kind of hoping, like, I'm going to die someday and I hope either the Christians are wrong or either heaven's not real and I actually do just go in the dirt and become ashes or whatever, become dirt. I'm either hoping for that or I'm hoping that any team will win. If you've just got some hopes and you don't know how it's going to end, let me tell you something. There is a winning team. And if you will join the winning team, you can have guaranteed eternal life. Join the team. Because I'm telling you, this isn't me saying this. We're talking about the greatest movement in human history. Jesus Christ comes to earth and he teaches some people how to lead people to him. And people have been doing it and it's been growing and it's been growing. You may have heard some bad news about Christians and some people may have told you some bad things about the church dying and all this other junk that's not true. The reality is the church has become the greatest mission, the greatest movement in human history. And those of us who are part of it are saying, it's not just growing, it's growing in my life. It's changing me. It's making me a better person. You got to try this. It's better. Join the winning team. We can't lose. We're on God's side.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.